station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning, folks. It's Friday, October 11th.
It doesn't feel like a Friday, though.
It doesn't? Why?
No, I don't know. I think it might have been because, like, it feels like a Monday because, like, I had the game, like, last night. You know, the Bears played.
Oh, they played last night.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's
it was a Thursday night football. Yes.
Okay, the
that's
jersey.
Why.
Okay.
That's why.
Oh, so you won.
Yes, of course.
Wow, so you guys been winning all the games, huh?
Almost, yeah. We just, you know, we lost that one game to Detroit Lions. But,
right.
We're just still about a half a game ahead for the NFC North. So we're doing great, you know.
Wonderful. Well, I'm happy for you.
But thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I can't, you know. I mean, it's not like last night could be too much to be proud of because we beat the Giants. I mean, they haven't won any games yet.
Oh, really?
You know, they're 0-6 now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very good.
So, I know, it's like, woo, yeah, we won. But it's like, I don't know. I personally feel like we should have, you know, won by a lot more. Like, they, you know, we were tied.
Right.
At one point, I think it was like, you know, they were catching up. It was pretty close, but we pulled
through.
But
you won. Okay, there you go. Well, we're happy for you. So you don't have any football for this weekend, though, right? So what are you going
to
do?
Right. I mean, I'll of course pay attention to the Ravens still, you know, because they're like kind of my second team. But yeah, I'm supposed to be going on like a yacht boat thing on Sunday.
Well, you do
so
that every day. It's not a big deal.
Not every day.
Okay, every other day, for crying out loud. All you do is post pictures on a yacht and boats.
Well, it's a little bit different. I mean, over the past weekend, I was in, that was San Diego.
Right.
That was just like a Malibu, like a speedboat kind of,
nice.
A wakeboarding boat.
Yeah.
But this is like an organized event.
A big
yacht. Thingy,
okay.
Whatever. So.
Party.
Yeah.
Well, you're living
so
it
I
up.
I won't feel too bad about, you know, missing out on, because the Bears aren't even playing. I'm like, all right, woohoo. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, there you go.
It.
Exactly. I can party all I want.
That's like the first thing when somebody's like, oh, Sunday. I'm like, oh, what time? I don't know. I got the game. Like, okay.
All right.
Like, sorry, I can't help it.
So you got that out of your system last night, which
mm-hmm.
is good. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So yesterday I went to the conference, and I mean, a lot's going on and stuff, but mm-hmm. what really irritated me is, you got to hear this. I'm like sitting on a panel, right? And there's another guy. I mean, we're like five people on the panel.
Yeah.
And we're talking about radio, the big picture, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sit there and the guy goes, the moderator says, so you guys still around? And I said, yeah, 6 years, you know. And so we got applause, which was really nice. It really felt nice. Although,
you
know, like I just told you, I don't know why they applauded, but they did. And so apparently more people know of us and of me than I thought. But this other guy there sits, and after I mentioned that we have 80 shows on the network and stuff, or I don't like to call it the network, but our radio station.
Yeah.
This guy goes, he comes out of turn, and he says, well, what if all the 80 shows are crap? And I'm looking at him, and I said, I can't believe he just said that. And the moderator looked at him and he says, well, you know, maybe 72 are bad or crap, but maybe, you know, I'm sure there's some good ones there, you know. And it didn't become like a conversation, but I couldn't believe he did this. So I thought,
That's so weird for me.
This is war. And never mind that he ended up number 15 on the list and I'm number 8. But so number 15 still a number 8 that his shows are crappy. Okay. And he's got one lousy, sorry-ass show. And what I have is the whole station. So, you know.
I can't believe he would say that. Why would he even use those words?
Yeah, and
what if they're all crap?
Yeah, like, and besides, if you listen to the 80 shows, do you know what it's about, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So, you know, he comes from jealousy. He comes from a bad place, you know?
Yeah, and of course. I mean, 15,
I just let it go.
That's, you know, that's a little ways down,
yeah,
you know? It's a little ways down from number 8.
And not only that, but, you know, I mean, let's just say that the list may be subjective or something. But just look at the listeners. I don't know how many listeners he has. I don't know how many. He doesn't know how many we have. But the fact of the matter is nobody's heard of him. I don't know who the heck he is. And,
that's not okay.
But regardless, yeah, even if you're famous, you don't come out and say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't, you know.
No, it's just rude.
So I don't know how many people actually caught that, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, I think he made himself look like a fool. But, you know, but I like to start wars with people when, well, no, I don't start a war. He started the war,
you know.
I just want to, like,
just bite back.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to make a big deal out of it, so to expose him. So we'll do that. In the beginning of the station, when we just started, there were people in other places that said, oh, this is not going to last. These are, they call us monkeys with microphones, right? After our first broadcast. And look where we are today, you know?
Yeah.
So give me a break.
Sure. I mean, you know, everything started off like that.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's ever just come out with a bang. There's always struggles along the way.
Yeah,
so,
you know,
I mean, hey, we're...
Yeah, so rather than say, wow, you know, I mean, or don't say anything.
But yeah, exactly.
Tell us how great your show is.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, talk about your own stuff. Focus on your own stuff rather than, you know, putting the focus on, like, trying to put somebody down.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did, you know. Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
What
are you going to do? Yeah, you see? I have to say it at least once a show.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I know, we gotta get going on those t-shirts, man.
Yeah, that's true. So how was your day?
That.
Did you have a nice day off yesterday or
I did.
Quiet? Yeah.
I did, yes. I slept in.
Oh, good for you.
Quite a bit. Yeah, so it was nice to
I know, on a weekday, huh?
Get some sleep and I've actually made it a point to work out every day this week.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't even realize you worked out at all.
Yeah, I have a gym membership. You know, I usually do the...
Well, so
I would
do
only go for the yoga
people.
Classes, and that was it. Like, I would just do yoga and nothing else.
I see.
I go there for an hour and leave, and I'm like, you know, I can use other things. There's, you know, ellipticals and all this other stuff. I'm like, I've never bothered to give the entire gym a chance.
Yeah.
I just go for yoga. And I'm like, the timing isn't working out, whatever. So now I haven't done a class in like forever, it feels like. I'm actually just going just to go and utilize all
and
the
exercise.
Equipment and
nice.
The bike and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's been good. It's been fun.
Good for you. Well,
thank
I'm
you.
Glad. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Take advantage of every waking moment, like I said, you know. And I take advantage of every sleeping moment, too. I just don't get enough sleep, you know. But there's just too much going on in life to sleep too much, you know. So, yeah, it's okay to walk around a little tired but accomplish more, you know.
Yeah.
But before we get to our wonderful guest, I just wanted to bring this up because this jumped out at me from the news this morning. And I guess in Philadelphia, this guy beat up a blind man on the street. And apparently, like, for no reason, didn't know him. I mean, this is like a blind man. Can you, like, how do you go through life like that anyway? You know, I mean, and...
How low can you go? Seriously?
Yeah, and just random. You know, they caught it on videotape. I can't seem to be able to play it online. Video still sucks on the internet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not there yet. It's not there yet. Sometimes websites just get stuck on the video. It doesn't show, whatever. It doesn't stream.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's got him lying on the ground, you know. injuries to the face, to the,
oh my God,
you know, to the head. Can you imagine? I mean, it's like you want to cry when you hear something like this, you know? Blind man, you know, just walking on the street. You don't even know what the hell's going on. And suddenly you just get attacked like this, you know?
Yeah, there is. So, there is no reason for that.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
I know. So they arrested the guy.
Well, good.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I
know. I hate sad news, but sometimes it just things just touch me, you know? They capture me and stuff, so.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, especially because, like, I mean, of course there's no, you know, reason to, you know, fight in general, but, like, he can't even fight back. He can't see.
Yeah.
He's blind.
Right.
That's just
totally
that's
helpless.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Completely helpless.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's, like, wondering, like, you know, who's beating me up? Like, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
What is this? What
right.
did I do?
What's
like, what?
On?
To not know. I mean, that's so scary, man.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
That's awful.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I salute blind people that are able to be independent. You know, I mean, sometimes
oh, me
you
too.
See them
They're
on the street
amazing.
Walking.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway, let's get to better, more positive things.
and on that note,
yeah. Well, we're going to change direction completely, actually. And bring in our guest.
Yeah.
We have Amanda Slingerland in the studio. Welcome so much, Amanda.
Hi, I'm happy to be here this morning.
Awesome. And you're looking great, as
Thank
always.
Thank you. Thank you.
And she's
that.
So professional. She's got like the full, like,
yeah.
you know,
I have on my grown-up outfit today. Yeah.
There you
Lovely.
Go. Well, she's a businesswoman, you know.
Got on the heels and the jewelry. You know.
There you go. That's the way to do it, you know.
I got a plan for the whole day. It's
yeah.
like I start the morning early. But then I got meetings, I got to meet with people, I never know who I'm going to run into. So
yeah.
you got to plan early, you get up early, and you got to look a certain way, so you, no matter who you run into,
That's
you're ready.
That's true, yeah, because sometimes I wonder, you know, maybe if I don't shave today, I won't run into anybody that I don't know, you know, or that I know and stuff, and it'll be okay. You know, I can never leave the house unshaved. And not dressed nicely and not showered and all that, you know.
Yeah, because that's
so,
the day you run into the big, you know, whoever you've been dying to meet. That's
exactly.
the day it happens.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't think it's only that. But wouldn't you say it also makes you feel better about yourself when you leave the house like that, all dressed up, made up?
Absolutely.
You know?
You can just
yeah.
check it off the list.
Yeah.
It's like you're not having to be preoccupied with, oh, my gosh, you know, why'd I wear my holy jeans today?
Yeah.
Or whatever. You're just done. Check
yeah.
it off.
And it's like my best friend Karen, you know, she's a stylist. So it's like even if we're going to like a super late movie, like I'll straight up like go in like my PJs or my sweats or whatever. And she can never do it. Like
yeah.
she's always got to be on because she's a stylist.
Right.
So she always has like this perfect outfit put together. Like everywhere we go, it doesn't
yeah.
matter what it is, you know,
yeah.
like no matter what time of day or night. Like, yeah, she's always... got to be on.
Wow.
She's like, yeah, I thought about wearing sweats, but, you know, you never know. And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
But
so there you go. Leaving the house.
Leaving
know,
the
you,
house.
You never know.
Yeah. Got to think of the whole day.
Yeah, for sure. So let's introduce you a little bit, and then we'll get back to it. But Amanda is the co-founder of StudioVox, and that's a website that I found very interesting, fascinating, and very useful, I think. So tell us a little bit about what the site's about, and then we'll get to how you started it and all that.
Sure, sure. I'd love to.
I'm sure. You'd love to talk about your baby,
I
right?
I would love to. It's been just an absolute labor of love for about 2 years that we've been putting this project together.
Uh-huh.
And it's an online network for creative professionals. It's the only site online where we have creative people, creative industries, creative agencies and companies all come together on a single platform. So it's really a unique creative marketplace
mm-hmm.
where whether you're a filmmaker, or you're in fashion, or you're in advertising, or you're in the music industry, you can put your creative team together, you can find creative resources, you can connect with creative people, you can collaborate on projects, you can promote your work, you can find your next gig. And, you know, what we're finding when we talk to creative people is they're all constantly putting creative teams together.
Mm.
Creative people have a tendency to sort of work on a project-by-project basis. You know, they jump from gig to gig. One ends, and they've got to scramble around and figure out when their next gig is going to happen.
Right.
It's, they're freelance, a lot of them. And so we developed StudioVox as a network so that you can market yourself, and it's a one-stop destination for everything you need as a creative professional.
Amazing. So it's like a matchmaking website for artists and people that need the project and stuff.
Absolutely. You can definitely find your creative team, put it together. You know, we sort of think about ourselves as kind of like the LinkedIn for creative professionals. LinkedIn is what we sort of consider very white collar.
Right.
And, you know, creative folks need something that's more dynamic, where they can upload audio and video and you know, strong images with a great graphic portfolio. But they still really need that networking component that, you know, LinkedIn has.
Right.
But they, you know, they need to be able to be, you know, have with tattoos and earrings and, you know, be themselves
right.
and be authentic about what their work is and who they're connecting with in a way that's, you know, sort of different from what exists right now for a professional.
That's true. Well, that's a great idea. So, I mean, obviously you founded this. So, like, were you an artist before that, or how did you end up doing something like this? Because obviously when you start a business, it's usually because you realize there's a need that's not being fulfilled.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a background in design and went to design school, and I'm really passionate about art and artists in general.
Mm.
But what I did as a career professionally was I worked in architecture and design. And what I would do is I would put the creative teams together. So if we'd be working on a building or a cathedral or a, you know, whatever it was, I would pull all of the, whether we needed, you know, sound designers and lighting designers and floor designers and acoustic people, and I would pull all of these people in and watch this like magnificent project occur, because they all get together and everybody brainstorms, and you know, they each contribute a piece of magic.
Mm.
And then over the course of a year, something that started out as a scribble on a couple pieces of paper suddenly become design documents, suddenly get detail, and suddenly you have something amazing.
Right.
And when you bring a lot of smart, creative people together, it's really incredible things happen.
Wow.
And I knew that, you know, I wanted to create that at a bigger level.
So that's amazing. So, I mean, you actually took what you were doing and you created a business and a website out of it. And so rather than individual people putting teams together, now the website can put people together.
That's the vision. You know, right. I was working on one project at a time,
yeah.
You know? And so you're like, how can I bring this kind of connection to all creative people so that they can build these amazing creative teams themselves and have access to people all around the world? It's a global platform that they wouldn't even otherwise know existed.
That's true, and it is worldwide. So, you know, people can connect from other countries and collaborate.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, the world is changing. The economy is changing. You're not stuck working with the guy in your neighborhood anymore because you can commute over and their office is close. You can work with anyone in any country in the world with the internet and with collaboration tools. You can all work on the same documents, create amazing projects together from you know, any place in the world.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, and it happens all the time. I mean, some companies don't really have physical locations, you know. They have just employees or something around the world. And, yeah, like you said, they collaborate online. They can work, share documents, things like that. So it's amazing, you know. I mean, I remember I used to, when I was in web design and stuff, I used to, I was in, like, in South Africa, and I was doing websites for people in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But it was amazing, you know. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Like in the 90s when you did this, it was like totally revolutionary. Today we take it for granted.
Right.
But, you know, it was like, wow, amazing,
you know. Yeah, no, it's very true. People are like, oh, yeah, I'm doing business with this guy in Dubai right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're, you know, got like the video chat up and they're doing their thing. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
It's cool, yeah.
So now, Amanda, a website like this is pretty intricate, pretty complicated to build. Our website, for example, for the radio station is pretty straightforward, so I could build it myself and everything with some background in web design and graphics and stuff. But this requires a lot of programming and stuff, which you probably don't know much about, right, being a creative person. I mean, would you be able to build a website like you have?
Oh, wow. Absolutely not. No, the technology side is not my area of expertise, you know?
Right.
That's not my gig. I have an amazing business partner. His name is Mazen Hughley, and he's the technology side of it.
Oh, really?
He,
so that's cool.
He is senior network engineer for large brands, Westfield Malls, Ticketmaster, LA Clippers, and he's built very large network infrastructures for these companies. We met. He's also has a very passionate artistic side and really sees the vision and purpose of artists and creatives. And we connected on that topic. And I knew I wanted to create something like this. And he was looking for his next gig.
Right.
And we got together and started brainstorming about how do we create something and bring it to market to benefit a lot of people. And something that we're really passionate about, but that we can also build a business around. You
right.
know, you're doing this for a lot of different reasons. And you know, we came together, and then over the course of our first year together, we started putting in the components of what it was to build a business. You got your business plan, and you got to raise money, and you got to
right.
get, you know, advisors, and you have to do all of that piece. Raised a bunch of money to get the project going, and then we started building out the technology and what do we want it to have and what features and what functionalities and that sort of thing. So
right.
the technology side of it is a huge, huge undertaking.
Right.
It's much, much more than, you know, throwing up a website.
Right.
I leave all of that to him.
Good. Good. So it helps that you're both two sides of the same coin, and, you know, one is the creative side, one is the technical side. So this is interesting. So it was like a fateful meeting. How did you guys meet?
Oh, my gosh.
What was
Talk about a fateful meeting. You know, a mutual friend of ours introduced us. He knew that I wanted to, you know, do a creative project online.
Mm.
Knew that Mazen was looking for whatever his next big thing was that
right.
he was going to do. And said, you know, you two should meet.
Oh, wow.
You might have a lot in common.
Yeah.
So, unbeknownst to us, I get a phone call and Mazen gets a phone call, and this person says, oh, you know, meet in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, it was the day before Thanksgiving. Can you imagine what the traffic was like trying to get to Orange County the day before Thanksgiving? It was a flipping
nightmare.
Yeah. So 3 hours into it, I call up the person. I said, I am not coming.
3 hours into it?
3 hours into it. I said, I don't know who this guy is.
Wow.
I'm sure he's great, but I'm bagging the meeting. And he said, no, you're not. He's on his way too. He's been sitting in the same traffic. You know, get your ass here. I'm like, oh, crap.
Whoa.
So I keep driving, and I got my kids in the back seat.
Aww.
It's like, oh my gosh. So I finally get down there, meet him, come to find out he lives up here near the valley too.
Oh, really?
So we were both...
You both went to OCD.
Orange County to meet each other. Needless to say, we totally hit it off. There was a lot of affinity for what we wanted to do. And it was totally worth it. But it really was a meeting that almost didn't happen.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Wow.
You see, that's why I always like to know how people met, because... You think about it and you go, well, if they hadn't, none of this would have happened.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it is
all
sort of
by chance,
like,
and
yeah.
fate. And
exactly.
So
you know?
And sometimes we put our own barriers in the way, like, I can't make it, it's traffic, or I'm too busy, or whatever. And you create obstacles for yourself. You
That's
don't even
true.
Know by
Definitely
making excuses.
Definitely makes for a cool story in the end, though.
Absolutely. I love
That's
it.
That's true. I mean,
it.
Can you imagine if you turned
right.
around and went home? I mean,
oh,
none of this would have happened.
None of this would have happened.
Yeah.
You know, which some days I'm like, oh, God, none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
But for better or worse, you know, the good days are awesome, and the days where you're like are working all night and you've been up for days and days working and traveling and you're, you know, wrung out. You know, you keep thinking about the artist that you're working with and working for, and it totally makes it all worth it.
That's true for sure, you know, and it also helps when you can have a partner that can do the things you can't. Because otherwise, you know, you have to hire people. And often when you hire someone who knows more than you, it's not a good idea in business, you know. Because you don't know what the heck they're doing, you know. And you want to be able to be in charge of what's happening. And since you found a partner that could put the technical side together, I think that's amazing.
You have to find people that have expertise that you don't.
Right.
So that you can balance each other out. They do what they are good at. You do what you're good at. You know, but beyond that, there has to be terrific communication between, especially if you're two business partners.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's like a marriage, really. You're making decisions together about time and money and big things. And unless you get along really well with that person and you have good communication, and let them do their thing, let them be good at what they're good at.
Right.
You can give your opinions and suggestions and whatever, and then they, you know, in turn give you the space to do what you need to do. If you can find that, you really have something. And I think that working with Mazin, you know, we have the ability to overcome obstacles and we fight well together, you know,
like
we argue and we fight things out, you know, but if you have someone that you can communicate well and you know that at the end of the day, business is business and you're going to disagree and get over it because you got to move on to the next day.
That's true. And it's important to know that. And like you said, it's just like a marriage, you know, and that's why often I'm like skeptical of partners because, you know, it's sometimes like, they could stand in your way, you know, and that's why you want to meet someone that you guys are on the same page, you know. I mean, you can be good at different things, but in your mind, you have to be on the same page.
You do. And, you know, we're actually very different. He is a very linear thinker. He's extraordinarily organized. He is the checklist. He is the making sure. He's the project manager, making sure everything is getting done and keeping us really grounded. And, you know, I'm the more loose vision relationship person. Who do we need to meet? How do we make it sound better? The touchy-feely piece. How do we want to convey this?
Right.
And, you know, it creates balance in what we do. And we usually end up with a really great product because of it and whatever we're trying to
right.
you know, execute on.
Now, I can imagine the hardest part is the beginning, getting it off the ground when you don't have any members yet and all that stuff. How did that go? I mean, how does a company go from like nothing to a lot?
Yeah, it's that beginning phase takes an extraordinary amount of focus because nothing exists yet. And, you know, when I was in design school and I was working on architectural projects and doing things like that, I had this paradigm shift in thinking and realizing if I can create a building or I can create a design, why can't I create a company? Why can't I create, you know, a media empire? Why can't I create whatever I want to create? It was a huge shift in thinking for me, in understanding that if you think it, you can create it.
Yeah, it's like, why not me?
Why not?
Right.
But the piece that you have to consider is the amount of focus that initial idea of creating actually takes, because
right.
there's nothing there. You're creating everything.
Right. Yeah.
And we literally started this project on my, you know, dining room table in my house where we're creating business plans or mock-ups and ideas and who do we need to know. And then we wrote a 82-page business plan to go with it and how much money were we going to need. And then you decide, oh, my gosh, we need a legal team to come in and help us draft particular documents and bringing in other people. And then all of a sudden, it starts to take form and be something real. And then you put up a website that maybe isn't your ideal, like it's not the finished product, but you get something up and you start getting feedback on it, and it's called a beta. I think at that point it was an alpha, and then you move to beta. And you get feedback, and then maybe you tweak that for a while, and it starts to grow and grow and grow. And then you're like, okay, this is really cool. Now we need, you know, some people out in the industry to buy into this project.
Right.
And so we have advisors from Disney and we have advisors from AOL and really amazing people who love the project, you know, really willing to give their insight and feedback about operations and doing deals and things like that. And the business starts to mature. And,
right.
and that's how it happens with focus.
Right.
What about the name? How'd you guys come up with that?
Studio Vox. We were not always Studio Vox. In fact, we've had a couple of different names over the course of time. We actually, for a while in between, we were called Studio Book because artists keep all of their work in a portfolio. Usually when they go show their work, it's in a book, and we were Studio Book. And we were starting to put some marketing behind that and get everything, but nothing had actually gone out into the public yet. Mm. And one day the phone rings, and I pick it up, and it's Facebook. It's their attorney.
That's exactly the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah. And they claimed that they own the word book.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Any sort of association with any sort of online network cannot use the word
the
book,
word book.
Because they own it. Now, do they own the word book? Absolutely not. They don't own the word book any more than you own the word book or I own the word book. Nobody can own that word.
Oh,
but
man.
Because it's part of their name, they claimed that. And so we had to kind of figure out, okay, you know, do we fight this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something we want to take on? You know, there's a saying that, you know, there's no such bad publicity, or, you know, you use publicity in whatever way you can.
Right.
And we're like, oh, do we use this? Do we take them on? Is, you know, can we be the little guy fighting the big guy? And at the end of the day, my pockets are not as deep as Facebook. And I thought, you know, I just really don't want to put my energy there.
Yeah.
I don't want
that
what my business to be about, or I don't want to be known for that.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
just
true.
Wasn't really where I wanted my notoriety for my company to be. So we went back to the drawing board and we researched more names. And I don't know if you've ever tried to find names for internet companies, but everything is
taken.
Everything's taken.
So we landed on Studio Vox, and we love it. It's a stronger name. It's a better name. Vox is Latin for voice.
Right.
Studio, all artists of whatever capacity, whether they're photographers or fashion or painters or whatever, work in a studio.
Right.
And so Studio Vox, it's we're the voice for artists.
A very good name. I think name. Better than Studio Book.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like it better.
It made us push the envelope a little bit. You know,
exactly.
We're like, okay, let's push it and find something better.
There you go.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. Sometimes you're forced to think a little harder about what to do in business. You know, it just doesn't come easy, you know. But you mentioned that that they said they own the word book. The thing is that what they mean is they own it in the consumer's mind. You know, when you think book and online, you think of Facebook. So it's not like they own it really like with money, but, you know, so I'm just saying from a marketing perspective, you don't want to compete with that anyway. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's not something that I wanted to take on or compete with or even be compared to.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. Because if you want to own the word book in the consumer's mind, you can't, because Facebook already preempted you.
Yeah,
you
know? It makes it very hard to have a unique identity.
Yeah, you know, so so rather than join the crowd, you stand out and you do the exact opposite.
Exactly.
And that's amazing, you know. So it's like all kinds of artists, right? Anywhere from painters to
all
designers.
Kinds of artists, whether you're a filmmaker, whether you're in the music industry, whether you're in fine arts. You know, it's a platform that really umbrellas all creative fields. You know, we really, as I said earlier, feel that even though all these creatives are different and they do different things, they have a few common elements that they all share, and that, you know, they all want to promote their work and be seen and get validation for what they're doing, whatever niche they're in. They all need to put creative teams together. They all need to network. And so these pieces of common elements, you know, sort of unite them in one voice on Studio Vox.
Right. And that's amazing. You know, I mean, the thing is that, you know, even when you're, let's say you're a graphic designer or something, then you're likely to know more graphic designers, but not people that compliment you, you know, and other things that they do.
Right.
So I think this is a good way to find out, like, other people. If I need, if I'm a programmer and I need a designer, this is where I go.
Exactly. I mean, if you're a musician, you're you know, somebody who puts commercials together, or you put a team where you need a graphic designer, and you need somebody to design the labels, and you need a sound person, and you need a costume person, and you need a makeup person. You need a lot of people to put a project together that you might not necessarily know where those resources are.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, very interesting.
Very neat.
You know. Yeah. I mean, it's
really
nice how it all concluded in this for you and stuff. So let's go back a little bit, and you can tell us, were you born and raised here?
I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles growing up.
Really?
I spent a lot of time here. But then we left here at a certain point in my growing up. I moved to Salt Lake City.
Oh, really?
For several years. Oh, okay. And then when I met my husband, we moved back. Because I'm a California girl at heart, and I like the sunshine.
So it was your family that moved to Salt Lake, and you followed them.
Yes.
Now, what was behind the move? I mean, why would they move from California, from L.A. to Salt Lake?
My family was really looking for a better environment to raise kids,
and
Salt Lake was wholesome and, you know, all of those good things. And I spent the rest of my life trying to figure out how the heck I was going to get out of there.
That's funny. So how many years did you live there before you left?
Oh, I went through all my junior high and high school and college there. So
really?
I was actually there for, you know, all of those sort of growing up years. Yeah.
So do you think that move was worth it? I mean, in hindsight, would you have wanted to move again because you had a good childhood there? Or do you feel you could have had a good one here as well?
Well, I seem to have turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it probably was a great choice. You know, I was able to get a really good education. The cost of living was a lot lower there. I was raised by a single mom, and so she had to take those sorts of things into account. Where can I raise my kid and give her the advantages that I wouldn't be able to give in L.A. somewhere else so that she can go be who she needs to be?
Yeah.
And it was a good choice.
Sounds good. Yeah. Wow.
So then you met your husband in Salt Lake?
Yeah.
That's where he's from?
Yeah. We're both from there. It's funny because we didn't meet. We met later in life. You know, he'd gone to New York. I'd gone to New York. We were adults. But we were sort of both at a crossroads of our lives. And we ended up both being in Salt Lake at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And met. And, you know, he was in the midst of going to graduate school and doing some things like that. He was going to Wharton back east, and so he was going back and forth, and you know, over the course of 3 years, we sort of made this long distance relationship work.
Wow.
And that's tough to do.
And then when he got a position with Disney, and he was with strategic planning with them, and when he was going to move here, I said, look, you know, I need a commitment. This making it work. I'm over it.
It's we need to be together.
We need to do this, but we need to like make some concrete plans if I'm going to come to LA and after that much time together, and you know, we've been apart, we've been together, it was a pretty sure deal. So we got married and we both came to LA. That was in 96.
So you were long distance for a while. How often would you see each other?
Well, it depended. I mean, we would really try to not go longer than actually 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we were flying back and forth, and then we'd go for some longer periods. But, you know, we were pretty dedicated to trying to make it work.
That's good. And some people say it's actually good for a relationship, you know, when you're not, you know, when you're not seeing the same person every day, you know, you kind of, you know, there's anticipation, there's a buildup and stuff. But I can see where eventually you just want to be there with them all the time.
Yeah. We're either going to make it work or we're not.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice for a while, but we can't go on forever like this.
Yeah, it is nice, and especially in the beginning, too.
Yeah.
Because you want to spend all your time together. You know what I mean? And usually that, you know, that kind of creates a problem. That's why I feel like a lot of relationships don't last, because it's so much, and then you're like so over it so quickly. Like, it's not realistic, you know.
I know, so it does happen.
It's it helps to have like that little bit of a, you know, mandatory break, and then you know, you miss them more, and it's like, oh, okay, and then it's like nice, like meeting for the first time all over again.
Yeah.
You know, with these little breaks. So.
That's true. I think it, but you know, I mean, sticking it out for 3 years is pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. You know, we tested it. We was thoroughly tested the relationship.
Yeah.
But you guys racked up some miles now.
Yes, we did. Frequent flyer miles. Actually, that's how we went on our honeymoon. We had so many frequent flyer miles, we were able to go to Europe.
Oh,
wow. It actually worked to our benefit.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
That's so cute.
So did he move to LA first and then you followed?
No, we got married in Salt Lake.
Oh, you did?
And you had a very traditional wedding, lots of people, and then we went to Europe for a month, six weeks maybe, I think, because we were in between. He finished graduate school, and then he was going to start at Disney, so we had this window of time, so we planned it so that I would be quitting my job, moving to LA, and we right. made it. So we had the whole summer mm-hmm. to travel around.
And that
around.
Was the first time you guys were together all the time, right?
No, not necessarily. You know, yeah, there's like before. Summers, and you know, like that's when you're true. Going to school, life is a little more discombobulated. So yeah. it wasn't.
Because
like
a trip can really test the relationship.
Oh, it's a whole
know?
New.
When you're
yeah.
with someone all the time.
Yeah, especially like driving on those European roads, and I was supposed to be the navigator reading the maps in Italian, and they're upside down, and
it's
he's
impossible.
Yelling at me. And I'm like, oh hell, what have I gotten myself into?
It's the same for everybody,
yeah,
you know.
It's a
mean?
Test.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. you travel with someone and you're together all the time, and you're also faced with like stressful situations in travel. You know, you're not familiar with the place right. and everything, so you can really like, you know, butt heads.
Yeah, you can other, definitely. Yeah. He put me through a lot of tests, so we knew that. You know, we did the camping test to see if I could camp and sleep in a tent. We did the mountain biking test, wow. you know, to see if I really... I jumped through all kinds of hoops for this one.
Great. So you guys were meant for each other, obviously.
Yes, yes.
And you've been married for a while. You have kids, you said?
Yeah, we've been together 20 years,
wow.
including the three,
congratulations.
You know. Yes, and we have two sons. I have two sons.
Wonderful. Aww. Well, I'm not surprised awesome. You stayed together for so long because it really seemed like fate that brought you together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really sounds like it, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, wow, a lot of things happening in your life that are like sort of like changed the direction for you completely.
Definitely. There have been pivotal moments when you're making a certain decision, and those decisions have really indicated a certain course.
Right.
And they've been good choices.
Yeah, and they're clearly defined in your life. Yeah. You know, I mean, you met your husband and Mazen, and,
yep.
you know, so, wow.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's been a good path.
Yeah.
Yeah, things mm-hmm. are good.
Wonderful. So you got two grown kids now? Are they
Let's
grown?
See, not quite grown.
Not quite grown.
Yeah,
I mean,
my
only 20
my
years
my
that you've
son
been
is I have a 14-year-old son,
mm-hmm.
and I have an 11-year-old son.
Wow.
Aww. So they keep me busy when I'm not doing all of this other stuff. I'm at baseball games and basketball games and tennis tournaments and you know all of the things that are important to them, you know, are important to me. So. Spend a lot of weekend hours watching sports and hanging out with them.
That's good.
Aww, yeah. That's
now,
awesome.
When you first moved to LA, what were you doing as far as career and stuff?
That was when I was working for the architectural firms and putting creative teams together and doing that sort of thing. So
I, the
years prior to having kids and that sort of thing were, you know, all involved with creative industry and design and architects and that sort of
right.
thing. So that's what I was doing.
So putting the teams together is more like the business side, but were you doing a lot of creative work yourself as well out of school? And
mostly I was focusing on the business side and focusing on empowering other creative people and bringing sort of the best out in them into a project. So I wasn't sort of stretching my creative wings at that point. I was very much a business development and marketing sort of role for me,
right.
Which was great because that's what my role is also with Studio Vox. I'm not the creative entity. I am creative, but my role is to, you know, empower other people and give them the opportunity to shine. And
right.
so I think that's sort of got me prepared for what I'm doing now, and I love it.
Wonderful. Well, the thing is that a lot
stuff.
Of... Yeah, you know, and a lot of creative people move to LA and stuff, and what are some of the challenges, would you say, that creative people have in getting their projects done?
Well, I think that right now we're very much sort of a freelance economy.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
that creatives have an opportunity to find teams and do things on a freelance basis where they're not sort of stuck working with one company, which is great. But I think that where creatives really suffer is that they're not necessarily marketing people.
Right.
They're not necessarily entrepreneurs. They don't really understand that side, that business side of how to make themselves successful. They're
mm-hmm.
really great at shooting film, or they're really great at painting, or they're really great as a photographer. But let's say you're a photographer. How do you get more jobs? How do you market themselves? They don't really like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to create their art. And so when they're trying to grow themselves as a business, you know, there's a lot of different hats they have to wear. They're the, you know, human resources department, and they're their accountant, and they're their legal, and, you know, they're trying to get all of this stuff done so that they can kind of build a business, when really all they want to do is create art.
Right.
And so they're not necessarily great at doing all of these other things.
Right.
And they need to know how to bring in other people, other mentors, other people who are really great at doing those sorts of things.
Right.
And pulling them into their lives to help them sort of get to the next level in their creative career.
Right. And that's why often creative people have managers and agents and things like that, because they take care of that side that they can't. And that's why sometimes they get ripped off also by those people, because they trust them. You know?
you need to definitely know who you're working with. You need to know what your strengths are, and you sort of need to know what your weaknesses are. But you need to be very savvy and aware about it, and not be, you know, so incredibly trusting with an agent or a manager or whatnot that you don't, you know, have a thumb on what's going on in your creative career.
Right.
You can bring people on, but you still need to treat it like a business.
Right.
And your art is your business, and you just need to be aware of how it's getting out there in the world.
Okay. Now, what's the the user experience on the website? How does one really use it? Briefly, we only have a couple minutes, but how does somebody use the site? I mean, what exactly can you do on there other than, I mean, we said you can showcase your portfolio.
Yes.
And things like
you
that.
You can showcase your portfolio. You're going to be able to find jobs. You're going to be able to find your next gig and work. You can collaborate on projects where there's files where everybody can put their opinions and notations on work. You're going to be able to promote your work, which is going to be amazing, from a single source.
Mm-hmm.
So once you upload everything to StudioVox, there'll be a single push function so that it goes to Facebook and Twitter and Flickr SoundCloud and wherever you want, whatever your social media is, it complements that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have as much work to do. There's so many different social media channels for people to manage.
Mm. Yeah.
Creative people don't want to be doing that. They're not social media managers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have taken all of that into consideration and tried to streamline that process so that when they're uploading their stuff, it's easy. It's fast and it's easy.
Amazing. I think it's really something that's useful. You know, it's not
Absolutely.
Just somebody slapping something on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of thinking that went behind this. I checked it out a little bit. But I should join and then see how it works and all that stuff.
I would love to see you on the site. That would be great.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, the website is StudioVox, of course, StudioVox.com. And you guys can go out and check it out. Amanda Slingerland, of course. Let's see. There's a little bio on you as well, right?
Probably someplace on there. They probably said something
about
me, but I don't know what it says.
No, there it is right there. And she's one of those ridiculous types who gets up at 5 a.m. Really?
Every morning?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I'm one of those morning people who...
I know. I love mornings, but I can never get up that early.
You're also running. Mom, I feel
The only way I can get my workout in is if I get up, put my running shoes on, and go right out the door.
Wow.
Otherwise, it doesn't happen. Then I come back at 6, get the kids up. Everybody's out the door by 7.
So disciplined and everything. Amazing.
Yeah, got to have focus and discipline.
That's true, sure.
That's what makes everything else fall into place.
To get up at 5, what time do you go to bed usually?
Oh, see, that's the downside of it. By 10, I am out.
Huh?
Yeah, I drop.
Wow.
So,
evening just starts at 10. But then again, 3 hours after I go to bed, you get up and start your day, which is nice,
Everybody has their rhythm of what works for them, and I'm definitely a morning person, so.
That's true. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. Definitely
thank you.
A lot of fun. We learned everything about the website. Everybody go
it's
check it
cool.
out, StudioVox.com. And definitely a lot of people that are creative in L.A. and elsewhere can check it out and see. Amanda, thanks again. All the best to you. Congratulations. Oh, and we forgot your radio show.
Yeah,
promote your radio show.
Every Friday.
I can't believe it. In an hour from now.
LA Talk Radio, Channel 1, 12 o'clock. It's called Get Famous Friday. And we talk to creative pros and experts in all sorts of creative industries and kind of get their secrets to success and their advice for getting known.
That's cool. So that really complements the website and everything else that you do.
Yeah, it pulls it all together.
Sounds
it's a nice
great.
Package. Yeah,
yeah,
love it.
Well, everybody check it out for sure. And that's it. It's Friday, so it's the weekend, Mia.
Yeah.
And
have a good weekend, Sam.
I'm sure you will. With
thank
all
you.
Your boats and yachts and everything, I'm starting to feel like my life is really boring now.
Aw, I know.
Okay, well, anyway, everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the...
You've been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.